Blog Talk Radio.
Marty Oakley, the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. It has been a busy, busy week. Anyway, we have back with us this week again, David Jose. Do you pronounce it Jose or Jose?
Jose.
Jose, okay. Here, out here where I live, it's pronounced Jose. So I just wondered. And then also, of course, our good friend, Brian Kinter. Hi, Brian. How you doing?
I'm good, Marty. It's always a pleasure to be on here with you folks.
Good, good. We're going to pick up a conversation we started last week that really kind of stirred a fire in people when David brought up the idea of, or the fact of, courts of record. What's a court of record? And what isn't? And I think one of you is on speaker. If you are, could you take that off, please?
Hold on 1 second. That's me. Hold on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that.
Give me 1 second to get that off.
Okay.
I got a new phone, so you got to forgive me. It takes a little second to figure out how to do things. So.
All right.
You guys hear me better?
All right. Yeah, there. I'm not getting any feedback now. But David had mentioned last week about courts of record, which absolutely lit people up. And I've been hearing about it all week, and people have been waiting for him to come back on because people had no idea that there was this difference in courts. I mean, we knew the difference between, you know, state and federal court and municipal court and this court and that court. But he talked about courts of record. And it really caught people's attention. So this week we're going to pick up on that, and he's going to be talking about that and about how that relates to jurisdiction, whether they even have jurisdiction. But that's where we're going to be going with that this week. So with that, David, being said, give us just a background again, just a primer on what are courts of records. Courts of record and what are not.
Okay, so pretty much courts of record have 4.5 to 5 characteristics. What we are used to, and I did something earlier this week or late last week to prove what I'm saying here. Because we have a very good attorney who is literally what I believe is the best in juvenile courts in the United States, being Connie Riguli. And I had a discussion with the people telling them that the courts that we are working in, or with CPS issues and different things like that, APS issues, are not courts of record. And so I know she felt that they were courts of record. And what I told the people before she happened to come onto one of our videos, I told the people that back in the day around 1938 and a little bit before, the bar members started to be deceived when it came to the definition of court of record. So in order for star chamber type courts to be used, and in order for people who did not have jurisdiction as agencies, working inside of fictitious agencies, in order for them to be able to take from the people and take children and take adults, what they had to do was, is they had to stop the attorneys from being constitutional. Because when they understand the Constitution and they understand the Declaration of Independence and the Federalist Papers and all those things, they end up knowing that we go by the law of the land or the common law. Now, when attorneys look at the law of the land or the common law, you'll see that they're called constitutionalists now. And it's looked at as a bad thing in front of agencies and attorneys who push agency courts. And so a court of record used to have, not used to have, it actually still has five elements, 4.5 to 5. On the other hand, the new definition of court of record, if you look between Black's Law 4 and Black's Law 6, I proved it online the other day. I had people actually pull up Black's Law and post it. And we found that now the attorneys only know one or two aspects of a court of record. And so I knew that she was saying that the court of record was, or these courts were courts of record because she got deceived. And so I just never had the time or the opportunity to have the discussion. So what I did was is I invited any attorney to come onto my page and prove that these courts were in fact courts of record and to show us documentation to let us know what a court of record was. Well, it ended up that Connie did come on, thank God, because we did have the ability to discuss this before the people with somebody who's honest. And so Connie came on, and I said, Connie, would you like to tell us what a court of record is? And Connie said, well, it's a court that keeps the records with the clerk. And I said, Connie, is that all that you want to say that a court of record is? Is there anything else you want to add? And she said, that's what it is. And so I asked her a question. I said, Connie, does a court of record also have the ability to fine and not just throw you in jail, but in prison for contempt? And she said, well, that's inherent in all the courts. I said, Connie, in a CPS court, when a judge or a person wearing a black robe that you would call a judge, which really isn't acting in a judicial capacity, but I said, when that person makes an order to you, Connie, and they say take a psych evaluation or go see the kid 2 times a week and you say, no, I'm not doing it. I said, Connie, can they throw you in prison for that? And she said, well, it depends. And I said, okay, Connie, so when they are making this decision to throw you in prison or not, if they make a order in that court, is it an administrative order or a judicial order? And then she reveals something that should be very shocking to all of us. She said, well, is a administrative order that is spreadable to a judicial, to a judge. Now let's think about what was said. It is an administrative order. So administrative orders only go for the administration and the business of the people who are part of that administration. It does not apply to men or women. So she said it is spreadable to a judge. Now you got to think
about
that.
I don't. But yeah, that's what I was going to say. What does that mean, spreadable to a judge?
Well, it's like saying that they can take that administrative order and then send it over to a judge, and a judge can make it judicial.
Oh. Okay.
But there's a problem. Can a real Article III judge a situation when the people who were involved with the case are not there in front of them?
No.
He can't. So
no.
An Article III judge does not make judgments without hearing both sides fairly. So if you don't serve somebody and take them before a judicial court, the legislature has no power to give judicial power to ministerial officers who are working as a clerk for an agency. That's executive branch. So you can't take executive branch orders and make it judicial. It's always administrative. It never applies to men and women.
Okay.
Now, that don't mean they won't deceive you, and that don't mean that they won't get a police officer and deceive him and say, go pick up that kid because we're telling you to do so, In our administrative order, we're saying you have the right to do it. But see, if you notice, every time a police officer goes to pick up a kid when there's been no harm, they're using some type of statute where the state legislature just made up an act that said you could go pick up somebody's kid without a warrant. That's a statute. It doesn't mean that it's constitutional. As a matter of fact,
right,
statutes are challenged often for being unconstitutional. And many times the statute is set aside as unconstitutional. So it's not the law.
Right. David, I've argued this many, many times, that statutes are erected specifically to void the Constitution.
The statutes come from the Roman. Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead, you go.
Statute comes from, if you look up civil statutes, you're going to find that they're going to tell you that it comes from Roman port law or ancient Roman law. What the Romans wanted to do is find every single way they could to tax a citizen. Every single way. So commerce is about charging money for doing business. Now, every chance that the Romans got, they wanted to make another statute to charge you for something. And this is why when we are in these so-called courts, they're coming with statutes to say we did something, but the statute already says that a person, which is not a man or a woman, is wrong before you even go to court.
Right. Right.
The law says a man gets due process and has the right to be heard before a jury of his peers before a judgment is made to take away his property, his liberty, or his life. So if you're taking away, when Sandra Day O'Connor says that it men and women have a liberty interest in the upbringing of their children, that's one of the oldest that has existed in the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court didn't give those liberty interests. God gave those liberty interests, but the Supreme Court has for a long time stood with the mothers and fathers saying that they have a liberty interest to their children. And she said a word that most people don't catch. She said that children are not merely creatures or mere creatures of the state or property of the state. I think she said creatures. Mere, meaning that they are not only. So the state believes that the children are property of them. And so in believing that, they're using a statute and fraud when they get you to sign a birth certificate to say that, hey, you pledged your little one to us. Now, whenever we want to tell you we're going to take it, we can just do it by statute. But the statute is not the common law. The statute is not the law of the land. The law of the land came from the Bible. And this is the true reason why attorneys and people in power don't want the Bible in schools, don't want people to believe in God and teach evolution so hard, is because if you knew the Bible, you would actually see their trick. But because you don't know the Bible, you can't know the common law. Then they hide the law from you by not teaching you civics. So when they don't teach you civics and they don't teach you the Bible, you get hit with a star chamber so-called court, some funny tribunal, and what ends up happening is you're thrown off so bad you don't know what happened, and then they steal everything you have.
You know, David, in that context, and I've had several conversations over the last couple of days with veterans that are talking about, you know, mm-hmm. the military tribunals, Article 1 military mm-hmm. tribunals. And one man mm-hmm. kept saying, they can't do it, they can't do it, they can't do it. And I said, they can do it, and it has to do with your enlistment. And this goes to what you're speaking about, how you are viewed by the state or by that agency that is, in this mm-hmm. case, the Department of Defense. When you mm-hmm. sign up and enlist, when you enlist those papers, that's a contract. And if you read it carefully, yep. you have just expatriated yourself for the duration of your enlistment. And you become, this is where the term GI came from, government-issued property. You have actually
right.
even given up your right to be calling yourself a human being. You are property. So if you were in the service, and I'm not, and you were, and we got into a fight, and I blacked your eye, broke your arm, I would get charged. One of the things I would be charged with as a civilian is damaging government property.
Government property. That's right.
Yes. And so for people that are saying that, you know, this is how you make this distinction. This sets, you look at Article 1, and this is what they use to create the military tribunal. They have moved people from being people and having rights and liberties protected by the Constitution. They took all of that away from them and redeclared them property. So they have no constitutional protections. Go ahead.
They've also done that with the word person. If you go back and
yes.
you look in the Bible and you see what God says, he says, do not be a respecter of persons, or pretty much not to look at a man's person when you're making judgment. Now, this is what's funny. So if God says do not look at a man's person when you're making judgment, he's letting you know that a man can have a person attached. And the person is the position or the title of the man. And God is very good at explaining this because he lets you know about a man's person. And in the same verse, he lets you know to make, when he's talking to a king, he lets them know, make the right judgment no matter if the person is low or high. So he's explaining that the person is your rank. So when the term person is used in statute, is speaking of a entity, and they're claiming or presuming that any man or woman is a person. And when they say in a court, how do you plea? You is not singular. You is
okay.
plural. They did not say how do ye plea or how doth ye plea. Ye in the King James Bible is there because it's showing you singular.
I see.
So when they say, yeah, when they see, this is why we're being dumbed down on purpose to stop us from understanding our position. And because we don't understand our position, we allow our employees to run us. I mean, let's just look at this at the basic level. Don't our public servants come to us and ask us to elect them?
Yes.
So then who works for who?
I have confronted them about this myself. I am not your employee.
Basic level.
Yes.
Basic level.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. The military, right? Do you
right.
know that there used to be a time that the people who worked in the military would look at men and women and say, it is an honor to serve you?
Really?
But for some strange reason, we now see that the people who are going into the work for the military, people are saying, well, if you're not military, you're not really of any status. The people who went and served in the military would say, I'm serving for my country. That's not the dirt. Honor was to be so brave that you'll go out and lay your life on the line for the people. That's why real soldiers are going to war. Because they believe in all their heart that it is an honor to die for the people if you have to. That's the honor. That's why we praise them. Because they have that heart and that courage. But at the same time, the media and many people in the nation will try to make people who are regular, what they call citizens, look like a second class of person because they never served. Think about that.
That is, and I have encountered that. I truly have encountered that.
Think about the police.
Yeah.
You remember they used to be protect and serve. You don't really see that on the vehicles anymore.
No,
but
that
protect
was taken
and serve
off.
Meant,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Protect and serve the people. But now it is said, well, the officer has the right to go home safely at night. The officer has certain entitlements, which they do deserve to go home safely. But if you look at the average man and woman and you realize that's who you're trying to protect, you can de-escalate a lot of situations rather than escalating a situation because you have power.
Right.
And so when the officers, we've seen many officers come on live videos and go play basketball with kids in the middle of the ghetto, box with kids in the middle of the ghetto, get out and talk to them, laugh and joke, take them out to get food, pray with them on the side of the road. We have some amazing officers today, but the news is not displaying the officers who want to do the right thing and who understand their position. They want to show the ones who just shoot people without reason. And what that does is it makes the people afraid of the officers and the officers afraid of the people because the people get angry. But they're not highlighting and showing the good officers who sign their name and says, I will die for the people. So the whole system is not working the way that it's supposed to. And all this is connected to courts of record because courts have hired police to be their arm to go bring people in for them to try cases.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It was all important. So when you talk about the military tribunals can work because somebody who signs themselves away by contract can be brought before a tribunal. This is why in CPS court, they make you sign a document and says, look, you better sign this safety plan or you'll never see your kids again. Sign your rights away or you'll never get your kids. They do this because the contract allows them to dictate your life on paper. Now, they'll go and lie and say that you gave them permission, but they're doing it by extortion, by fraud. They're doing it through extortion, through fraud, through deception. They're acting like they are government, and they are not. And so when you really understand what a court of record is, you'll realize that this whole agency thing couldn't work anyway, because in a court of record, you can't let the agency bring all the evidence and a judge take their evidence as if it is true. Couldn't work. You hear Marty?
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
I am David.
Yeah. Well, is what's happened there. This is.
Him?
Yeah. This is why, like in a probate court, as they call it, judges can refuse evidence, refuse to allow you to present evidence to refute what the people coming against you are claiming, and they never have to produce any evidence. But this is why, isn't
you,
it?
You want to know why that is?
Why?
The reason that is because when a tribunal is working in a star chamber type court or in a private business contract court, because it's not a court, it's just a business. The reason is because there is an agency bringing you before the court, before that entity, I'm not going to call it a court, and trying to say that they believe you've done something wrong, or they believe you owe something, or they have this belief that something belongs to the state and not you. And what they're doing is that it is a private contract, private business type of entity. So in a private business, when you go to McDonald's, the person who's leading the business meeting at McDonald's has the right to tell you they don't care what your opinion is and what you have to say. If you say my McDonald's outfit will not sell more hamburgers than my white T-shirt, they don't give a darn about what scientific evidence you have. They don't give a darn about your reasoning because none of that matters. As a matter of fact, in a court not of record, in a private membership meeting, they don't give a darn what your evidence is because they're not there to hear about evidence. They don't even have jurisdiction to hear evidence and right or wrong.
Oh, wow.
You remember, I think we looked at last week, the Guardian Ad Litem Handbook, when they said that we're not in the business of looking at wrongdoing or meeting out punishment or finding fault with parents. So what is that telling you? They're coming there for a purpose, and you think that the purpose is to find right or wrong or justice. And that's not what that entity is doing. The entity that is running a Title IV-E business meeting, administrative hearing, or court meeting, as they want to call it, but it's not a court, what they're doing is they're coming there to say that your child is dependent, meaning that you don't, they don't need to be with you. They need to rehome this child, and after a time of rehoming them, they get Title IV-E funds in their federal contracted business with a federal private corporation. They are working as private contractors. Everybody's a private contractor, including the man or woman wearing the black robe. That's why they can't make orders against you as a man or woman. They'll try to take your property and say it belongs to them. And, of course, if everybody's on the same team and everybody's getting paid by the same money and everybody knows what the entity is about but you, of course they're going to all agree that it belongs to them. But here's the difference. Is there any man or woman who's going to stand up and say out of their mouth, not an attorney, not a guardian ad litem, not a judge, not a, I mean, I'm sorry, not a judge, not an administrating hearing officer, not a some type of prosecutor. None of them are men or women. None of them are standing up and making a claim. None of them are verifying in open court that everything is true, and it's not even a court in itself. That's why they can have hearings and hide all the evidence and not even give it to you. How in the world, in a fair proceeding, can somebody say to you, hey, you don't have a right to get this documentation because you might sue us?
Yeah.
If you can sue them, apparently you're in the wrong court. Because if you're in the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court says, nope, your property belongs to somebody else, who do you appeal to?
Yeah, exactly. Who do you appeal to?
Yeah, in a Supreme Court, you ain't got nowhere else to go. It's the highest court in their jurisdiction, in their land. But in our land, the highest court is the court of record, the court that moves by common law. And if you don't believe it, we can all look at Article 7 of the Constitution, Article 7 of the Bill of Rights. If we look at it, it's going to tell us – do you have your computer pulled up?
Yes, I do.
Let's look up the Constitution or Bill of Rights.
Hey, David.
We're
going to
find some of them
that
change the wording in it to hide the truth.
Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
And we also are going to have to go back and look at some things in the Bible to understand where we really stand. And when anybody on this video, I mean on this call, understands where they really stand and what's really happening and how we got tricked, they're going to go nuts. As a matter of fact, I might get in a lot of trouble.
David, I wanted
to add in there, though, one of the things when you were saying, you know, the U.S. Uh-huh. Supreme Court is supposed to be the highest court in the land. And while I believe that there is theoretically correct, I also believe, though, that Congress should have the power over top of the U.S. Supreme Court because, like in our own case, I am going after all 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices, and I'm saying that Congress – should be able to hear it because Congress is the only body that has the power to impeach the president, which is a judicial function. So, mm-hmm. you know, I can't say with absolute certainty that we don't have a remedy of relief through Congress. And I wanted to pull up something that I have, and while you folks continue to talk, I'll be able to locate that, I hope.
Let me say real quick, you're 100% right. That is one avenue and one method we have. We can go to Congress for grievances, but we also have to remember that Congress are the ones who write the statutes for private businesses to
Amen.
Actually function
Amen.
In their own court. So
and
when,
another thing,
when the players are playing dirty, say it again.
What I was going to say, this explains to me something that since I got into this guardianship thing, which has been 10 years ago now, one of the things, and I have all these cases stacked up here, transcripts, numerous times, David, numerous, too many to count, these probate hearing examiners have literally screamed at people who said, I have constitutional rights, I have rights, have screamed at them and said, you mentioned the
Constitution
one more
time,
I will put you in jail. I will put you
know why
you
they
in
say
you
that?
You don't have any rights. You don't have any rights.
You know
in
why
this
they
court.
Say that?
Why?
When they're telling you the honest to God truth, you don't have any rights in this court, this private business, because they tricked you somehow into taking a contract or agreement with them to come into that place. And anytime you have a private business or a private court or a private membership association, a private membership association has its own constitution. Did you know that?
Yes.
So it has
yes,
its own constitution, its own articles of organization, and it tells them how they can function and you how you function. They're just not giving you the booklet. And then they have bylaws where when they change how something is going to work, they just write it in the bylaws, and then they give
right.
out what's called a publication, which is what you see as these so-called minute or minute orders that they're putting it out. They're making you think that it's some type of order. What it really is a private business 501c3 meeting, and they're changing the bylaws of the company, and they're holding you like an employee.
Wow.
And they're just
wow.
not telling you. So when you say, when they say, are you the defendant is part of the membership association. You got to have somebody acting like an administrative hearing officer. Somebody got to be the guardian ad litem. So when you set the role in the act of the defendant, they now added you to the private membership association, and it does not have to go by the Constitution, and I'm going to prove it. If you
okay.
look at the Constitution, there is nothing in the whole Constitution or anywhere in common law that says that you can adopt somebody's child out. Nowhere.
Right.
Adoption is strictly statutory and not found anywhere in common law. So if you can only take somebody's property or liberty or life by the law of the land, that means that you can't use the statute to do it. You have to go through a lawful process where people are judged by a jury of their peers, and the jury has to say they did wrong. And the Star Chamber Courts is meant to bypass that. Because back
right.
in the day when the king wanted somebody's wife, when the king wanted to do something that he just wanted to do, he'll go to his legislature and he'll say, hey, just make a rule that says I can have that person's wife. Just make a rule that says I can do this. Just make a rule that says it's okay for the king to do that. And this is why in the Declaration of Independence, we see this discussed. And the same thing, these crazy tribunals, these crazy courts that we dealt with in the 1700s and before are the crazy courts that we're seeing again. It's just
wow.
they've dumbed us down to not know our true position. And this is why we're not taught the Bible. Hey, can you – I need you to pull up what I was asking you to pull up, and then I sent you a picture about
yes.
a case that talked about the common law in the Bible.
Okay.
And
wait,
I want you to read it off for the people. And when they hear this, because it's never quoted anywhere. As a matter of fact,
okay.
Lazaro gave this to me the other day. And I want you to really see what it says, because when we understand what the real truth is and what they knew in the 1700s, we can understand when I explain what court of record is.
All right. Now, are you talking about 1 Corinthians?
No, you see the one that talked about it's a messenger photo that talks about Robin versus Hardaway.
Hang on. Okay.
It's the last message I sent you.
Let me see. Okay. I'm not getting it. Hold on here. It's moving slow, but we're moving. Okay. Okay.
I sent it to Brian, too, if we need to.
Okay.
Yeah, again tonight, David, I'm trying to multitask. I got, Donnie Costros here at my house, and we're trying to work on some things here, too. So I'm trying to multitask.
Okay.
So I'm trying to listen in and keep everything moving forward.
Okay. I've got one. It starts out, it is not called a tribunal in its title. For example, an advocate who appears.
Well, this one is the one that says Robin versus Hardaway is the picture with Lazaro's name at the top of the picture. If you want, I'll read it and I can get it to
yeah,
you later.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want the people
go ahead
to hear
because
it.
I'm not showing it.
Okay, so it says Robin versus Hardaway, 1790. Jury of My Peers, Biblical Law and Common Law, supersedes all laws, and Christianity is custom. Custom is law.
Okay, I just got it. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, this is really important because one thing that we're seeing is that biblical law and common law supersede all law. So,
okay,
if you don't want a people to be free or know their power, you take away the source of the law.
Right.
Because then there could be chaos and there's no standard.
Right.
So
okay.
If you want to make 10,000 statutes, remove the law.
Right.
Now, people have been tricked by men like, what's the gentleman who made, he made evolution, Darwin.
Darwin,
he
yes.
He was a Jesuit priest.
Uh-huh.
Who infiltrated and acted like he was a scientist. And people will say, well, I follow Darwin, and don't realize that Darwin is Jesuit, Catholic priest.
We're losing your, keep your phone, you're fading on us there time to time.
I'm sorry. He brought forth that idea in order to cause people to not know the law and not know their standing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you can remove the law from people and remove their standing, you can do anything you want to them. And so real quick, I want to go back before I explain court of record. I want to go back and I want to ask a question. Simple question. In the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, when God created man and he created animals and he created birds of the air and fish of the sea, what was it that he said to them about their power in regards to the animals and the things of the sea, the creepy crawling things and the things of the air and water?
That he gave them dominion over.
Dominion. Dominion means what?
Control.
Control.
And
jurisdiction.
Care.
You know what that means?
No. Mm-hmm.
You know what that means, jurisdiction?
No.
Jurisdiction.
I've never figured
means
it out.
Control over. Control over. If I can tell you what to do and how to move, I have control over you. Now, here's the problem.
Okay.
If God told us to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and all the creepy crawling things on the ground, doesn't that cover everything?
You'd think so.
So then if a man creates a company, how can the company have jurisdiction over him?
That's one of those riddles, isn't it? I'm trying to make notes while I'm talking to you, and my head is exploding.
Okay,
go ahead.
So speak about this. So, I'll give you an example. If a man creates a car, is the car created to control the man, or the man to control the car?
Control the car.
If a man makes a government, is it for the man to control the government or for the government to control the man?
Well, we're supposed to control the government.
There you go. So here's where the problem comes in. What government entity has power over the people who created it?
These days, all of them.
Is it that they have power over the people that created it, or they have tricked you, taken away your knowledge of the law, and dumbed you down to think that they have power over you?
Yes.
That's the difference. That's the
David,
difference.
David, I want to go back to something that you brought up about the kids and what they're taught.
Mm-hmm.
I had two high school students here up until last year, and my younger granddaughter graduated. And I paid very close attention to what they called civics class. And everything, David, was taught from the aspect of global governance and what they owed the planet and what they should be doing globally. And didn't they desire global citizenship? My youngest granddaughter got in trouble in her civics class in 11th grade when the teacher said, and this was a skewed question that was asked. It was asked because they're trying to elicit a yes answer. You know, when people ask you questions, what they call yes questions, it's asked in such a way that even though you may disagree, you are prompted to answer yes. But the question was, do you think it's possible that you'll be able to achieve global citizenship in your lifetime? To which my granddaughter responded, I already am a global citizen, but I am a resident of the state of Minnesota. And she got a demerit and a detention. That lasted 5 minutes because grandma went to school. But anyway, but they only talked about the Constitution. She came in one day and said that they had, this was a 2-hour class. They had talked about the Constitution that day for a whole hour. I said, a whole hour? She said, yeah. She said, then the teacher said that they weren't going to spend any more time on it because it was, even though it was one of our founding documents, it was old and antiquated and it really no longer was relevant. She, being my granddaughter, jumped up and said, no, it is not irrelevant. And don't ever tell my grandma that. She'll rip her, your tongue out of your mouth. And she said, the Constitution is very relevant. She said, it's just that people are trying to make it irrelevant. She got another demerit. This was a 4.0 student now. She got another demerit and 2 weeks of detention. And again, that lasted about 5 minutes, just long enough for me to get to the school. But anyway, you are absolutely right. And the kids in school are not taught anything about the law except what they could do that would cause them problems. In other words, breaking these infractions, these fictional statutes. You haven't committed an actual crime except that this statute that they created took something that was your right to do and made it illegal. Or they said, you can only go 55 miles an hour, and you went 56, so now we got you. This type of thing. This is what they were taught. But as far as being taught anything about the legal system, what we call the legal system, how these courts work, the difference that you're talking about here between these administrative tribunals and an actual court of law, or that there is any difference between what happens and how they operate, none of that is taught. Absolutely none of that is taught. They come out thinking, like 99% of the rest of the people we encounter think, that they are one and the same. And they're two entirely different entities.
That's true. It's definitely by design. And I'm going to say something to make people think, because there's a psychological concept that has been used against the people. And my schooling is in psychology, so I see it easily. When those who are in power want to use society to shame you into not believing or understanding the truth, what they'll do is they'll find some people who they can talk down on that it may be it to the United States, may be an enemy to the people of America. And what they'll do is they'll say, look at these people. They believe this, 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 and they'll make up a term and they'll say, look, they're conspiracy theorists. They're conspiracy theorists. They believe this. They're so stupid. They're dumb. They believe this. They believe the earth is this. They believe that. And they say it so many times that it becomes a shameful thing, and they attach it to an enemy. And then after they're done programming the people that is bad, then they take it and they attach it to people who try to fight what's wrong. So to disprove this conspiracy theory idea, I'm going to take the man with the most knowledge of what's going on in the United States. Do you remember our great president name, JFK?
Yes.
JFK had a speech. Yep. He had a speech that you can go and listen to on YouTube. And John F. Kennedy said that in America that we are against secret oaths, secret proceedings, secret societies. The word secrecy is repugnant in a free society. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Now, the man with the most knowledge at the time in the United States of America told us that there was secret societies and secret proceedings and secret oaths that men were using who, by covet means, were a enemy to the United States and was trying to enslave every man, woman, and child. And he explained that this secret society uses guerrillas by night rather than war by day. He mm-hmm. said no secret is revealed. As a matter of fact, every secret is buried, not headlined. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John F. Kennedy knew back then what happened. And a very little amount of time later, after he explained that there was a secret society trying to take over the whole world, infiltrating, he said they don't take over by coming through the front door with war. They take over by infiltration.
Yes.
They're sneaking in and taking over. And so I don't know if you ever heard of the Jesuits, but when you look
yes.
at the fact that Bill Clinton, the one who signed in the Adoption and Safe Families Act, his wife
yes.
who, wrote it,
uh-huh.
that Adoption and Safe Families Act came from someone or was signed in by someone in Bill Clinton who is from Jesuit Georgetown University. Obama
mm-hmm.
was trained and handled by Jesuit. We heard both Kane and Pence talk about their Jesuit history. We see Jerry Brown, one of the governors that is taking the most kids without regard for what parents are saying, Jesuit. We see Doug Ducey from Arizona taking more kids than anywhere else in the nation after in 2014 or 15, he went to go visit the Jesuit Pope, and then he started taking kids like there was no tomorrow. With not a single warrant, he will not talk to a parent. If you go look up the Jesuit Oath, I believe it was the 62nd or the 63rd Congress of the United States actually put it on public record, where it was said in their own earth how they were going to infiltrate all governments, make war against all heretics. That means anybody who did not believe in the Pope. And they let it be known that they will wage war secretly or openly. And this is important because our law schools are ran by the Jesuits. Our school curriculum is ran by the Jesuits. The teaching that there is no God and evolution came from Darwin, who was trained and raised up with the Jesuits. If you look at Hitler was funded by the Jesuits.
Okay,
so when
David,
you
David.
Look at our forefathers.
David,
uh-huh.
I got people bouncing up here like crazy people asking to please explain, because we have heard this about the Jesuits, and even myself, I could not tell you what these are supposed to be. I know there's some
okay.
part of the Catholic Church, or supposedly.
That, they're not
what
actually
are they?
Part of the Catholic Church. They are the militia for the Vatican. They were literally trained assassins and killers for the Vatican. And
okay.
when you look at, like, Abraham Lincoln, right? Abraham
right.
Lincoln had a case that he was famous for that people don't know about. They call him Honest Abe, put his life on the line for a man named Charles Chiniquy. And Charles Chiniquy was a Catholic priest who was starting to expose some things that the Catholic Church was doing. And in return, the Catholic Church met in a person's house and got a woman, while another woman was listening and other people were listening, to come up with a story to put fake rape charges on Charles Chiniquy. Abraham Lincoln was a self-taught lawyer before the bar was created. He
right.
was a self-taught lawyer who took the case of Charles Chiniquy. And you can see letters on record where Charles Chiniquy is talking to Abraham Lincoln, telling him, look, when you deal with the Jesuits who are trying to get me, you must know that your life is in great danger because these are killers like no other. And Abraham Lincoln is saying, well, my mom always told me to tell the truth, and if there's anything worth fighting for, I'm going to stand. And so he stood for Charles Chiniquy. On the last day of the trial, a woman came in when they were going to railroad Charles Chiniquy. And the woman came in and explained that she was there the whole time and that she heard the members of the Vatican and the Jesuits setting up to get Charles Chiniquot and to say that he raped someone when he didn't. Now, this is super important because these are techniques that these people use today to frame people. If you go through the research for all the listeners, look up the FBI and put in Jesuits, and you're going to find that Jesuits pretty much ran the FBI since they have started. Look up CIA. Oh, you're going to find out that the CIA were ran by the Jesuits before they first started. Since they first started, they're listening to us now. The deep thing about the Jesuits, look up Jesuits and intelligence. You're going to find that the Vatican has the highest and most powerful intelligence in the entire world. But we miss these things because we don't know who the Jesuits are because they are a secret society. And so when you look at the fact, say it again.
Well, the other thing is, too, if you mention it, because I've asked people, you know, what are people that are Catholic? What are they? Oh, they're just a sect of the Catholic Church. That's all.
No, they're a military order. They are the military arm and the agents of secrecy in the Vatican. They actually infiltrate governments, all types of offices. They'll become the garbage men in order to subvert people. And so if you look, I believe it was 1547, they were started by a man named Ignatius Loyola. And so for over 500 years, they've been producing students to enter into churches, schools, hospitals, all over in order to take over government, churches. I can even document and show you churches where Jesuits are actually sitting in churches that don't even believe in Catholicism.
Wow.
I can show you the evidence. I can show you their writing. I can show you them saying that they're also creating emergent churches to bring people back to the so-called Mother Church. I can show you in 1881 where Carlo Martini, who was almost the Pope, who was a Jesuit, he actually comes in 1881 and takes over the United Bible Society and puts in an Egyptian Vatican text into the Bibles and create all the new versions of the Bible. And then I can go to the Ernesto Alon text, I think it's the 27th edition. I could take you to, I believe, page 50 in the introduction and show you where they tell you that that text is controlled by the Vatican and it is a working text and not definitive. It will change as soon as the Pope wants it to. And so the attack on us knowing the law and the Bible and the truth is coming from the Jesuits. You see all this fight about vaccines today and people getting sick and they know that people are dying and they got to go through a vaccine court to be able to get remedy and people don't know why. They know people are dying, but they can't put their finger on it. But they don't realize that people will say, well, you know, we're all healthy because it was mass vaccines that saved us. None of us were alive back then. We don't know for sure. But what we will find out is that Jenner, the man who created the scholarly journal called Variolis Vaccinis, which actually means smallpox of the cow, he wrote the name of a journal article, and inside that journal it says nothing about a man getting animal pox. But they use that to inject us with pig blood, horse blood, monkey brains, aborted baby fetus, mercury, and we're getting dumbed down. Every time they add a number of vaccinations, we get more kids with autism.
Right.
And we're not making the connection, but Jenner, who created brought the vaccines from Egypt, see, Baka means cow, and the people of Egypt used to worship a cow. But most people in the world wouldn't know this because they've been tricked to hate God. But you remember when the people of Israel went before the mountain and Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. You remember what they built out of gold?
Yeah, a golden calf.
You remember? They made a golden calf. What's a calf? What's a calf?
Cow. It's a cow.
It's a cow. How do you say cow in Spanish?
I don't know.
Baca. Baca, B-A-C-C-A. The vaccination came from the fact that it is a cow. And so they in Egypt, they used to turn a cow on its side and beat them and abuse them and make them really mad. And then they was fixed up into their stomach to try to extract blood to put in themselves so they could be God.
Oh, my
and
God.
And that's where these inoculations came from. And then a Jesuit who went to go visit in the East and learn how to do that brought it to the United States and then started adding poison. As a matter of fact, we could see the studies where he poisoned his own child and his child's friend, and they developed diseases, and he told what age they would have the disease released. This is the type of stuff that is hidden in books where we'll get a book and it'll be a $500 or $1,000 book just to know the truth.
Mm.
But the Jesuits are holding this information and they're poisoning us and they're destroying us from all sides, and they're running, they're creating our law through statutes. They're hiding the real law and creating courts and working in the legislature and running business for the people, and we don't know the truth, and they have hidden the key of knowledge from us, so we don't know what a court of record is to win.
Wow. This thing with vaccines, this has been another sore point with me for years. When you bring up about the fact of vaccines and what they do, how they're made, and where this comes from, I could never understand why vaccines would contain the DNA of non-related species. And I've tried to explain to people that when you are vaccinated, you are being first intentionally infected with mutated viruses, fungus, and bacterium. The second thing
That's
is
right.
You are receiving the DNA of non-related species, which seeks out your DNA,
mm-hmm.
attaches itself, and creates what's called a mutational hotspot. When this was
there
exposed, they said, oh, no, it's the same thing as hybridization where, you know, we take the best of it and we combine it till we get the best cow, you know, by the traits that the cow's had. But they are altering our DNA, and they don't know how. And I think they are studying now, David, how these mutational hotspots that have been created in our DNA are going to express themselves in future generations. And one of the arguments I have used in arguing against vaccines, if my fully vaccinated child, and I think we're up to 73 mandated vaccines, I didn't allow the kids to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
If your fully vaccinated child and my fully vaccinated child grow up, meet each other, get married, and have a baby, is it human? Because there is only 1.5% to 4% difference between us and the great apes. And you see the massive difference in how we are expressed in the physical world with just this minimal difference. Now, you've injected them with pig DNA, chicken DNA, frog DNA, human diploid cells, the DNA of another human being. You can get up to 1,000,000 strands of that, and you don't even know it. So the child that your child and my child produce, is it human? If only 1.5% to 4%, depending on what you're looking at, differentiates us from the great ape, at what point after all these vaccinations will we be producing children that don't meet the DNA criteria necessary to be deemed a human being, and will instead be deemed to be an animal, a subspecies? And you know how we treat animals.
What is meant to be is a destroyer. It is
yes.
meant to destroy your body. Why? Because, number one, these people believe in what's called Molech worship. Okay? You'll see symbols that people in power wear that is the symbol of Molech, as God explained it. And so Molech was all about giving your children over to Molech and the Queen of Heaven and sacrificing them. And when you did that, when you sacrificed children, they were said to have more wealth. You could go look in the Bible, and it said exactly like that. The people said it was greater than us when we followed these gods, when we sacrificed to these gods. Well, the way you had to sacrifice is to give them children. And so when you look at all these pedophiles who are making more and more money and they don't have any problem taking your children, taking your adults, raping them, giving them over to pedophiles that are known pedophiles, these people, we're not just finding about all this pedophile stuff just by mistake. The reason that it's happening is because it's been happening all through history. And when God is angry and upset, he raises up people to show the evil of the wicked. And the thing is that people are not understanding why all these things are happening. But if they knew what was said in the Bible, it'd be easy to see. Now, some people don't believe in God, but Jesuits, Catholic, higher power Catholics and Jesuits taught them not to believe in God. They'll say, we don't believe in God because that's a man's idea, and then get taught by a man who's part of a church that the higher-ups don't believe in Christ, and then they will let that person tell them what to believe and not even know. So you say that you don't believe in God in church, and then you get taught by a person who does not believe in the real God, but Satan, and that you will follow them. And the problem is that you don't have to, the idea of deceiving somebody, it does not take for them to just say, I hate God. It does not take for them to say, I hate the Bible. All you have to do is get them to not know what it says, and then you win. It's that simple. It's that simple.
Well,
so when you look at this, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say, where I live, David, is Catholic. This, everybody's Catholic here but me. I don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I do not believe in religion of any kind. I think it's a blight on humanity in any form. That does not mean I don't have faith in God. Faith and religion are two different things. They don't work together. One is used by the other. But to have faith in God, you simply have to shut up, bow your head, and have a private conversation. God's there. He's there for you. I do not believe in religion. And when I look at all of these various constructs that call it this church, that church, another church, and always you see this Catholicism raised to this level of the end-all, be-all, and yet more corruption and crime occurs within that so-called religion than anywhere else. And yet people
Can I tell you something on that point you just hit that's super important?
Yes.
Because this will blow you away. So I'm going to tell you something about you. I'm going to show you something about you. And then after I show you something about you, I'm going to show you a Jesuit tactic that they use to deceive people. And they use it in the law books. And it's going to prove to you 100% that you don't believe what you just said.
Oh, okay.
And I don't mean it in a bad way because you're a wise woman. But I'm going to show you how slick the Jesuits are. So you see in all these commercials that came out in recent history, you might be able to quote it for me. It says, I love God, but I hate what?
I don't know. I don't watch commercials.
People have been going around on video and saying, I love God, but I hate religion. I love Christ, but I hate religion. What are they saying?
They hate, well, for me, what they're saying is, I hate men's constructs. I hate what they've done with faith. I hate what they've turned God into for their own benefit. That's what I hate.
Let me ask you this. So would this be good? If I told you that you should go visit the fatherless, the people who don't have any dad, what would you say?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be good or bad?
That'd be good. I'd do it.
Okay, what if I said, what about the people who had their husbands go out and fight in the military and their husbands get killed by a gun or a bomb? Would you say that that would be a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a good thing. I do that also.
Okay, so what about if I said, listen, you should not go out with the people in the world who get caught doing evil things or raping children or selling children for money. You shouldn't do that. You should never get spotted doing that. What would you say?
I'd have to agree with that.
Okay. So watch this. I'm going to read something to you.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me what you think after I read this to you. Because the Jesuits, their whole duty is to change the definition of the words in the Bible, to change the Bible, and to to change the words that we speak that came from the Bible so that we really don't know what it is that we're saying or doing. So watch this. This is King James Bible, James chapter 1, verse 27. And it says, pure religion. Now, would you think God would like religion?
No.
Watch this.
No.
Pure religion and undefiled before God. So God says pure religion is being undefiled, meaning not filthy and dirty. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So God's word says that religion is to go visit the fatherless who are hurting, go visit the widows who are hurting, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world, meaning don't go hanging out with the evil people doing the wrong stuff to the world. Now, who would have ever thought that the definition of religion is that?
I don't know anybody that would. I don't know one person.
So how did that happen? How did that happen? How did the definition of religion become the opposite? You remember in the Bible that God said that good would be called bad and bad would be called good.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jesuits have changed our language from the 1600s and the 1800s and made us think that religion is bad when God says religion is good.
Well, okay.
Ain't that
wait
crazy?
Wait a minute. It is, but religion as it exists in any form, like I say, is a blight on humanity because it has taken God out of it. It is,
well,
it is,
think about this now. Who defines what religion is? God or man?
Man.
No, God defines, okay, let me ask you this. If common law came from God's law, the Bible, who defines the common law? The Bible, which came from God, or man?
Okay, then God does.
This is why we're in trouble, because everything God creates, Satan has an alternative. So when God says, if you don't harm anybody, and you don't steal from anybody, and you don't break your oaths to anybody, you have not done wrong, do not bring anybody before the brethren who has not done anything wrong that you will stand up and be a witness to. But then we got these so-called tribunals that say, we believe or we think that this person might have done this and have no evidence. And they take you before a court and steal everything you got because they took away God's law that says you can't do that. Because the common law, which is God's law, says you cannot do that. In a court of record, you cannot come with testimony that you do not have firsthand knowledge of and use that to harm somebody.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
So they're changing the term. That's what's happening. So when you look at Black's Law number 4 and you look at Black's Law number 6, in Black's Law number 4, it explains what a court of record is, and this is what it says. A court of record is a court that keeps the proceedings immemorial, meaning forever. They put it down on paper so you have it so you can look at it and go over it. It also says that it is a court that has the right or the ability to fine and imprison, not just jail, but imprison for contempt. And then it has some more things that people don't know exist. It generally has a seal, meaning that it has a stamp seal. When you look at most of your paperwork from these fake tribunals, they have no seal. Then it has another thing. It says that the tribunal is separate from the magistrate. They're not connected. That means CPS can't come and say, hey, judge, give us this person's rights in a private business meeting. Hey, judge, don't let these people see their kids. Hey, judge, we want to stop their visits. We don't want them to visit their parents in this nursing home. Stop them, judge. There is no balance and independence between the tribunal, the group of people coming saying that something's been done that's not what they like, and the magistrate who's set to normally be the judge and make a decision or to handle the affairs of the court to keep everything in order. The magistrate should be working independently in a court of record of the tribunal, the one who's bringing the law. But when you have a man who is doing everything that this tribunal says, he is attached to them and working as a ministerial clerk.
Okay. Okay.
So they are not moving by the common law, which is the last part of a court of record. A court of record moves by the common law, which came from the Bible, and no statutes or codes. And this is
okay.
What's hidden. So in the fourth edition of Black's Law, they have five aspects of a court of record. Skip two editions, go to the sixth. You could even look at the fifth, but go to the sixth, and you know what it tells you that a court of record is?
What?
A court that keeps the records, and it can find and in prison for contempt. It tells you nothing about the common law. It tells you nothing about the seal. And it tells you nothing about the magistrate being separate from the tribunal. So if CPS is calling themselves somebody who has the right to bring you before the court as a tribunal, do you know that a tribunal has to be sovereign and has to have the power to be a judge?
Wow.
CPS is making the judgment that they're taking your kids, not the clerk who signs off. They're making the judgment. So the tribunal is making a judgment. They sit in the judgment seat.
I have a question here from a listener. They're asking to please, they said in their state, and this apparently it looks like it's Pennsylvania, if I'm reading this correctly, that it is magistrates who hear this, and the magistrate is selected by the governor. Can you explain the difference between a magistrate or a probate official?
Well, here's the thing. I don't deal with probate, so I don't want to get to talking about that and say something wrong, but I'll deal with the magistrate when it comes to a tribunal or when it comes to a court of record or a court not of record. People have tricked us. So another term that they have tricked us with, they call the man in the black robe the judge. A magistrate is a ministerial officer that does functions for a tribunal or a sovereign, somebody who's bringing forth a court. Like notice in the Supreme Court, right?
Right.
Why, when you have a Supreme Court case, does it not say the Supreme Court versus Johnson?
I don't know.
Why do you hear them say in the Williams Court? If Williams brought the action, they call it the Williams Court. You know why?
Why?
Because Williams is the sovereign that is bringing the action that's going through the venue of the Supreme Court. The one who has the jurisdiction to call somebody out and haul their butt into the court is the man. The man and his suit is the one that creates the court. The venue which you're working in is where the magistrate sits and makes sure that they keep order in the court. You remember when you saw old movies with the queen or the king, and they'll wake up 3 o'clock in the morning pissed because they found out something was wrong, and they'll say, assemble my court.
Right.
Why do they say assemble my court?
I don't
because
know.
The king is sovereign and he runs the court. It is his court by his prerogative. That's why they call it the king's bench. And the king made the judgment as the tribunal. So if the king hauled you into his court and said, you stole my cow. And the king says, I have proof because my servant found the cow's head with a stamp on it in your yard. The king will make the order that your head be chopped off right there. Why did the king have that power?
I'm listening.
Why did the king have that power? The king had the power because he was the sovereign. If you look, I think it's called Chisholm versus Georgia. If you look up that case, you'll find out that that case is actually the first important Supreme Court case that we're never told about. And in that case, you'll see where Georgia tried to say that you can't sue us or you can't do this or that to us because we're the sovereign state. And
right.
The Supreme Court said, hey, wait, hold on now. Anytime you're dealing with man, you're not the sovereign. Actually, you're not a sovereign. It's the man that's the sovereign. The people who gave you the power to have a constitution in your state and be created as a state are the sovereigns. The sovereignty resides with them. It didn't say sovereign citizens. It said the sovereign, the people are the sovereign. People create. God told us in the Bible to have dominion over the sea, the animals in the sea, the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and the creepy crawling things and the things on land. There is nothing that was created that was supposed to have dominion over man.
Right.
And so the Supreme Court told the truth. They said, oh, the people are the ones who are sovereign. Now, people have called themselves sovereign citizens, and you can't do that because a citizen is a creation of a civic body.
Okay.
So if a government is created on paper and then they make rules as a government and call you persons, that is different from one of the people who created the entity. So people create the entity. Any company that the legislature creates can be called a parent company. And any
yes.
company, if they give it the power to birth another company, it would be called a child company. So when the state writes statutes talking about parents and child, they're talking about the entity that they create with the birth certificate and the one that comes from it with the birth certificate called a child. This is why they pull you into the court, and you notice all their statutes say this. Any person who crosses the street is the wrong way is in trouble for jaywalking. Any person who goes too fast on the freeway is in trouble for speeding. And what they're doing is they're not telling you the real definition of person. But when you look at these statutes that they use and their connection to federal funding, and then you go look up person in Trump's new law, his executive order in December, he's going to tell you what a person is. You know what a person is?
What?
Any partnership, association, corporation, trust, private, an organization, which would be like a private membership organization or a private association like the bar. Those
uh-huh.
are persons, not people. So when they make
okay.
the statutes, you assume, and I assume, when I didn't know, that person means a man or woman. It does not.
Wow.
So when they're suing your person, see, people see that all capital letter name and they go crazy and say,
yes.
oh, that all caps is this, is that. The all capital letter name is a corporation. It's a business. It's a trust.
Right.
It's a partnership. It's an entity. So when they bring that into the court and you see that, all they're saying is, hey, do you plead guilty to this crime? And when you say, yeah, I do, or no, I don't, notice that what they're doing is saying, do you plead guilty to this crime? And you're saying that the statute that we're charging you with is correct. Or do you say you don't agree that you're not guilty of this crime and that the statute is effective and correct and it applies to me? Or do you say no contest and the statute applies to you? So they have tricked you to get sucked into statutes. Now, the statutes are used to make a lot of reasons for you to be a debtor, a lot of reasons for them to take money from you. You got
right.
a million things that they can say you did wrong to take money, but in God's law, he says, hey, I want you guys to forgive. Forgive your debtors as you want those to forgive you for your debts.
Right.
This is why in the United States, we're not supposed to have debtor's prison. But nobody remembers why we're not supposed to have debtor's prison. And I'm not going to say nobody because there's a lot of educated people out there who know everything I'm saying and 10 times more than me. But a lot of us have failed to remember that God said to forgive debtors. Don't cut their hand off. Don't throw them in jail forever. If they ain't got no bed to sleep on, don't come in there and take their bed. You see? This is
mm-hmm.
what God told us to do. So our nation was created upon the common law, and the common law said, look, we're not going to be like it is over in England and all of those eastern places where they'll kill you or throw you in jail over debt. We're going to forgive debts because Jesus came to die for debts. And that's why the common law lets us know that we can forgive for debts. But the statute is created off of debts. But they also stole all our gold and silver, and there's no money. So they're
right.
charging us with the trust accounts that they create. And the trust accounts are controlled by the Vatican and the Jesuits. So you look up DTC and DTCC, you're going to find trusts that are being used as clearinghouses for these courts. And they're taking you to a court that's not a court of record. And if you knew the Bible, it'd be hard for the people to get tricked to fall into a court that's not a court of record. And here's where I'm going to prove it. I want you to look at that picture I sent you about judging and see who God told to be a judge.
Let's see. I'm looking here.
And remember, I told the difference between, it's in Corinthians, I believe. I told the difference between a person and a man. Okay? Now, look at what you're going to see. You're going to find out something. God commanded us to do something that we ain't even supposed to be going in these courts by men who don't believe God. Watch this. Go ahead and read it for me.
Okay, this is 1 Corinthians 6, and it says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before
now,
the saints."
Listen to this. He said, "Dare any of you," this is where the common law came from, "dare any of you go to the law before the unjust." You shouldn't even be going to make decisions on what is right and wrong in front of people who don't care about right and wrong. So with these tribunals, I showed you where in their own documents they say that they're not looking for wrong or right. They're just trying to rehome your children. So if they're not people who are righteous, they're not going to try to see if you really hurt your kid and were trying to kill your kid. They don't care about that. They just want to make money. So why take another brother or sister before a crappy tribunal like that to make decisions over things that have to do with if a person is trying to raise their children in God and build their children or trying to hurt their children? Why would you ever do that? You see that?
Because,
this is from God's word, plain as day. Now, watch
what
it says next. Read the next one. This is going to get nuts.
Okay. It says, "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world
judged." Whoa, the saints, the members of the church, the members of the people that are trying to do the right thing shall judge the world. So you telling me you as a man or a woman don't have the ability to make a judgment if CPS is doing you wrong or not?
Wow.
They tell us the judge gets to make the decision. The person in the black robe or a magistrate gets to tell us what's right or wrong? God told us to have dominion over everything. Now you let a fictitious entity, someone calling himself a judge in a black robe, tell you what's right or wrong when God told you how to raise your little ones, gave you everything you need, gave you breast milk that can heal a baby's body on its own, gave you instruction on what helps their health, gave you instruction on what makes them good, gave you instruction on how to lead them in righteousness and stop them from being killed by cops because they're disrespectful. God gave you all that. God told you how to have them keep friends. God lets you know that if a man wants to, if he's going to have a lot of friends, he has to show himself as friendly. Simple knowledge. Don't be mean to people. Don't be evil to people. Don't harm people. Don't steal from people. All those things God told us to put into our kids. And then they removed it away from us. And then they say, you know what? You can't spank your child. That's harm to your child. And then your kid do one thing disrespectful in front of them, and they hit your kid with a bullet, blow your kid's brains out. And then they go on TV and say it was justified because your kid got smarter, your kid ran away, and your kid should not run away from authority. Well, the first authority started in the home.
Yes.
They should have let you teach your child to be right from day one, but they purposely tell you do not do the things that God says will keep your kid in line, and then they blow your kid's brains out on television for doing something wrong.
Oh, wow.
You see this? They don't even give the kid a chance to have a trial before a jury. They will put a bullet in your kid's head for disrespect. And the sad thing is the people of the United States today are watching kids, black, white, every color under the sun, getting their brains blown out by officers who work for a corporation that are not government. They're private entities. And they're blowing people's brains out because they can't pull them over for a taillight. And we're wondering why we're being brought in these tribunals, these fake courts, these fictitious entity courts. these private businesses. Look at the Highway Safety Act. You're going to find out that they have no right to pull anybody over who has a vehicle under 10,000 pounds or 26,001 pounds. And they get federal funds for pulling you over and ticketing you for everything. When the Highway Safety Act itself tells you distinctly who they have jurisdiction over. Commerce, people who are doing business, driving for a living, taking people's products around. When you look at the Health and Welfare Act, you're going to find out all of these secret funds that are held in trust that they're trying to get access to that they're not telling you about. And what they do is they make you believe that you are subject to them when the majority of their statutes were never passed into positive law.
Right.
So they're using statutes to prosecute you in an agency private business court when they never had the right to in the first place because they deceived you into believing the statute was the law and God's law was not the law.
David,
people
we've
think
only
that
got
they're removing God. Go ahead.
We've only got about 4 minutes left here. Holy crap. We've got to have you back on again. I'm sitting here trying to figure out how to make this a regular show at least once every couple of weeks.
Did we understand court of record and the difference between a court of record and a court not of record, though?
Yes. And what I'm going to do to everybody listening, to make this a little easier for everybody, I'm going to, when this comes up online and is stored in the archive, which should take 30 minutes to an hour, I'm going to make an MP3 out of this, and I will post it on the
PPG. Can I say one more thing? I forgot. I forgot one thing I had to tell the people. Can I say one more thing real quick?
Yes.
Okay,
sure.
Guys, court of record, the man or the woman can come as the tribunal and has the same standing as a king or a queen. And so we can actually do affidavits in a certain way, and it becomes a court of record document, and the judgment will come after you give 30 days or a certain amount of time of people not answering, and we actually make our own court of record document. We can also make claims even in your county court, and you can move your own court with tort claims. And what happens is when you say someone done you wrong, you have jurisdiction to pull them in, and you can stand as the tribunal. You can make the rules of the court. And when you make the rules of the court, the ministerial officer can work and make sign orders for you, and you make the judgment. Because if we could finish reading that scripture, and I know we don't have time, but if we could finish reading that scripture, you'll see where God said that one of you can make a judgment over the matters that are right or wrong. And that's in that scripture in Corinthians chapter 6. So
okay.
God gave you the power to make a judgment and be a judge. And when God had people deal with stuff before the church sat as the judges, not some one man that was a ministerial clerk or that wore a black robe. So we got deceived. A magistrate is the one who keeps court order and decorum. The judge is the one who's making the decision. So in a court of record, you can stand as the judge and write orders, and the clerk can only sign it. And that's why they don't want you to know what a court of record is.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. I'm making an MP3 out of this. Like I say, I'll have it up either later tonight or tomorrow. We've only got 90 seconds left. I want you back again, David. I'll get with you on that. We're going to continue this conversation. I think you specifically answered everybody's questions about what this difference was and why it matters and how you're being tricked, how we're all being tricked into being pulled into these administrative tribunals where we should never, never end up at any point in time. Brian, thank you. You've sat there quietly all evening. It always scares me when you're quiet because I wonder what you're thinking.
All right. No, Marty. No. Just busy. Marty,
yes,
he bought 10 houses and he made $1 million while he was sitting there quiet.
There you go, nah. David. There you go. David, thank you so much for coming on. Like I say, we're gonna be doing more with you. Everybody, I've got just tons of messages here. Have him back. I'll get with you. We'll get you scheduled. I may want you several times if you're available. And to everybody that tuned in, thank you so much. And we will make this show available in an MP3 so you can download it and listen to it in your car as you're driving down the road. You load it off onto a CD, and there you go. Everybody, we're down to 10 seconds. Thank you, David, so much. Brian, thank you for being there. And thanks for everybody that tuned in. And we will be back. Good night, everyone.
Thank you so much.